You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
All right. Well, good evening. Welcome to Recovery here at Citizens Church. It is my joy and privilege to be able to welcome you here on Wednesday nights. So glad that you made the decision to walk through those doors. If you're joining us for the first time, just a special welcome to you. It's just been a joy also to see so many of you that it's been a little while since I've seen you, and to see you returning the last several weeks has just been a tremendous thing for me to see you. So tonight, for me, I am torn, because on the one hand, my heart is just grieved in some ways, just as I know some of the difficulties and the stories and your stories and aspects of my own difficulties and family and struggles within those places. And then on the other hand, I am just so excited. We are at the conclusion of our Summer Steps program. And there's a bit of an overlap, because there is the end of one semester and the beginning of another semester that overlaps. And so there is a lot that needs to be done. And so we just ask for your prayers for us and for Brett as we try to manage the overlap of those two semesters. I am thrilled, though. I don't know. Is there an echo in that? There we go. I don't know. It's just... Okay. There is such a joy in my heart as we are concluding this step study, because we actually, all that's been done through this semester, now we get to go. Now we get a chance to go into the world and to make much of Jesus's name. And so we have a mission trip that is made up of primarily folks here from within Recovery and Steps. And we're getting ready to go to Paducah, Texas. And, you know, I've been running around doing all these different things, trying to get ready, logistical things and everything. But to gather with that group tonight, there's just such joy to be able to see them and to know where we're headed and to have the opportunity. I was just thinking back. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, like, to think about how broken my life was when God touched my life 21 years ago. And even what was spoken into my life, the fact that I get to be a part of this kingdom work, I mean, I never would have dreamed it. I would have never dreamed that I get to do. Now, I think those outside the kingdom would look at what I do and say, what a waste of time. But there was a time in my life where I was wasting my life. And I didn't even know it. I didn't know what I was missing out on. And now I get to be a part of that thing by God's grace. I brought nothing to the table but brokenness. And he redeemed me and he made me useful. And so there's nothing special about me other than God's favor. Like, God touched my life, and the same is true for us, that it is like what the world might have overlooked, God sees and he touches and he redeems and he uses by his grace. And so tonight, we are continuing in the fifth phase of the assessment process, which is faithful action. And so we've been talking about that for the last several weeks, and we said that in the very beginning, that faith is active. It's not passive. It actually causes us to act in ways that are inconsistent with our former nature. That and so oftentimes we will hear that, you know, You just believe as if that was it, of it, the end of it. No, belief actually affects how we act, how we move forward in the actions that we do. And so, faithful action. The joy of making much of his name, gospel-empowered ministry and mission, which correlates in the non-gospel recovery culture to step 12. And Jesus came and said to them, remember where we started when we introduced this program? We said we are an intensive discipleship program. Here we are circling all the way back to where we started. This is what we said we were about. And this is where we're going. And Jesus said to them, all authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And so this is called the Great Commission. This is God commissioning his disciples to go into the world and to make disciples. That is what the church, the mission of the church is to make disciples. And the first part of that, like Jesus, all authority, all power has been given to him. And so if he is with us, we have the one who has all power and authority. You may remember when we were teaching on our night of worship, when we were talking about the triumphal entry, and Jesus tells them to go in and to get the donkey. He says, tell them that the Lord has need of it. And they responded. The hearts of the people, like he has all authority. And I see that correlation even in our mission trip, that we have, and we'll bring them up here in a little while. If I forget to do that, remind me, because we want you to pray for us. But we have 15 men and women and 4 children going on this mission trip. It's amazing. It's so cool. And one of the things that we ask is that because we want to invite people into what we're doing. As we've asked them, hey, either donate or raise $300 a piece. And so if you were to look at what that would add up to for the 15 people, I got our giving report this week and I was blown away because of your generosity. It was almost double what we asked people to raise. And do you know what that means? That means we're able to go and be so generous with those that we encounter. So generous because of your generosity, because you bought in. Being a pastor, sometimes the reality of it is you feel like you're pulling teeth. And when that's happening, we're headed in the wrong direction because that's me trying to pull you guys along and you don't really want to go. That doesn't represent heart change. But with you, there's been no trying to pull along. I've simply presented the opportunity to you, presented the vision for you, and you guys have bought in. And so you are a part, even if you're not one of the 15, you are a part of what we're doing. It takes all of that in order to be able to go. And so you can understand my excitement because I feel like God's people are responding to his call because they're, listen, that takes sacrifice. That takes giving up something else in order to invest in this. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you to keep moving in that direction. And I want to show you here in a little while why that is so such a fruitful investment when you talk about kingdom economics, when you talk about joy. And so, the joy of making much of his name, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I can't save people. I can't cause people to have transformed lives. That's not within my power. But I can dunk somebody in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I can teach them to obey, to observe all that he has commanded. I can teach that, and then I can lay that at people's feet, and then they can decide what they want to do with that. And I know this to be true. When the word of God goes out, we said this at the beginning, that it gathers a people to himself and it separates. There are people that don't want to hear that, and they're going to go the other way. And there are people that in God's sovereignty, he gathers, and we can't control that. We can just be faithful. And when we start to try to control the results, like when I'm trying to pull people along, I'm going in the wrong direction. And the same is true in our ministry. When we go out into the world, when we talk to our neighbors and our coworkers, because why would we talk to them about, well, we talk about things that we care about. You do. It's true for every single one of you. You talk about what, if you found, like if you hit the lottery and you didn't just distrust everybody, okay? You would probably be pretty excited and tell people. And folks, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the riches that you've been given through the kingdom of God, you've hit the lottery. More than any state could ever give you. And I'm not just talking monetarily. I'm talking about life. This is our mission statement here at Citizens Church. Citizens of heaven, to be clear, enjoy God. We taught on that last week. Love people and make disciples. That's our mission statement. Citizens of heaven, enjoy God, love people, make disciples. We said in biblical counseling, our counsel is rooted in the scriptures. It's aimed at the heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ, exhorting the greatest command. That as the gospel changes, takes root, and changes our hearts, then we begin to live for the things that God lives for, that he's excited about. And so as we grow in our love for God and love for others, we will grow in our obedience to the Great Commission. They're connected. That we will live on mission for God. That will be the mission of our life, is to make disciples. That the message of our life, against all the other competing narratives in our lives, that the thing that we will want people to know more than how to protect themselves against COVID, which I'm not saying is not important, it's just a temptation that message might be the message that we're communicating more than we are communicating at times the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because it's what we revere, it's because of what we fear. And there's just something that surpasses that. I'm not saying don't be wise, because God calls us to be wise. And so there is this pattern of gospel in and gospel out. This is called a healthy rhythm. Think about this. When you breathe, you inhale and you exhale. That's healthy. If you just inhale and you never exhale, is that healthy? Are you gonna live very long? What about if you just exhale and you never inhale? No, it takes both, inhaling and exhaling. Gospel in, gospel out. Gospel ingestion, gospel expression. You may have heard this before, but did you know why the Dead Sea is dead? Have you ever been to the Dead Sea, anybody? Okay, Dead Sea, it's dead. No life in it. Eerie, creepy. Like, you think it's creepy to step into a lake that's full of life? Think about stepping into a lake that's supposed to have life and is completely dead. Nothing can live in it. Do you know what happens? There's water that flows in, but no water flows out. Nothing flows out of the Dead Sea. That's why it's dead. There's a type of spiritual dysfunction, several. We're going to talk about them. You're going to talk about them in your small group tonight, because we all tend to one of these. There's spiritual dysfunction that occurs when there is an imbalance of gospel ingestion and gospel expression. So let's talk about these for a second. I'll start with the one that I struggle with, to be transparent. I struggle with spiritual anorexia. What does that mean? It means that I like to do without being filled up. So it is not sitting under the waterfall of God's grace. Because here's part of the reason why, I think, based on my history. I lived my life and I wasted so much time and I was so irresponsible that now I love being responsible and I love having the opportunity to be useful for God's kingdom. And sometimes I forget the main point, and that's Him. And that's my temptation, is that I'm not ingesting the gospel so that that nourishes my soul, so that whenever I go out and do, I do it out of a healthy rhythm, being nourished and now overflowing. So I'm doing gospel expression without gospel ingestion. Another one that I think we're tempted towards is spiritual bulimia. What does that mean? It means that we take in, but before we have an opportunity to savor it, it's expelled. It never has the opportunity to nourish our soul. I don't know about you. I think different people are wired differently. But the idea for me personally of reading the Bible in a year, I would get very little out of it. Part of it is because of my ADD. I'll read 2 or 3 pages in the Bible and I'll have to go back to the first paragraph and go, what was I reading again? Like, I have to slow. It's just my limitation, my aptitude. I have to slow way down. And even though I get off on rabbit trails a lot, those at times can be really fruitful, like as I dig deeper into what the Word of God has to say. And I'm not saying everybody's wired like me. You may be one of those people that can read, 20 pages in the Bible and be able to recite every name that came up and how they were related to everyone. That's not me. I don't have that sort of reading comprehension. One of the things that at one of the treatment facilities that I served at, it was a biblical treatment facility, is that these guys were in the Bible so much that they were just taking in and taking in and taking in. And so I just had to tell them, hey, when there's something, when there's a nugget there that you feel like that the Holy Spirit is calling your attention to, write that down, circle it, come back to it later, think through that, study that, because it's just one class after another class of another class of Bible. And that's part of what can happen in seminary too, is that you are just ingesting so much, but you're not savoring any of it. And so it's important to savor those truths that nourish your soul, so then you have something to share with people. Oh, one more. And that is spiritual obesity. Spiritual obesity is when we take in and we savor and we savor and we savor and we take in and we savor and we take in and we savor and there's no gospel expression. We're not in the world making much of His name. We're not sharing. We're just We're just in there for the accumulation of information. And so we know a lot, but we're doing very little with it. And so part of the question tonight in your group is going to be, and for you to consider, is what's your tendency towards? You're probably going to tend towards one of those. We're in a safe place to be able to say what I tend towards. And then the question that follows that is, you know, what needs to change? Like, what does that look like actually in your life? And then what needs to change? What steps can you take actually for that change? I'll mention it here so I don't forget it. As a staff, and even before that, as our recovery group leaders, we read this book. It's called Gentle and Lowly. It's about Jesus and his heart. It talks about, in the only place in the New Testament where Jesus talks about his heart is in Matthew chapter 11. I think it's Matthew chapter 11, where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls, for I am gentle and lowly at heart." And this is not a new concept. And so this author, he goes back through the Old and the New Testament and shows us all the different ways that this is who God is, as can be clearly seen in Jesus. And so in Corinthians, it talks about how we are changed from one degree of glory to the next as we behold him. And so one of the things that we talked about last week was, what's next? What's, like, where are we going to go? For those of you who are finishing steps, what's next? And a really great resource in order to behold Jesus is this book, Gentle and Lowly. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pass those out to those of you who have finished steps, and maybe you get into dyads or triads or whatever, read that book together. Savor the truths of who Jesus is, because he's got a lot of layers. All right. Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. That's just another way of saying it. That's gospel end, getting to know Jesus, living relationally with him, and then making his name known. So in 1 John 1-4, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." And so John has had this revelation of who this Jesus is, that he has had an experience with Jesus. And so the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you. Why would he proclaim it? Because he's excited about it. Because he treasures it. Because he's been touched in a miraculous way, which was with the Father and made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you, so that you too might have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things. Why? Why would he write these things? Why would he write this letter? So that our joy may be complete. There is something about the treasure that Jesus is. And when we discover that we want to tell other people about it. We want to tell others about it. It's not a, you have to tell others about it. It's not a forced thing. It's just, do I get the opportunity? You know, and even the parts of our lives that were the parts of our greatest shame. One of my favorite things to do at the gym when everybody's talking about going out and getting all liquored up is to go, I remember that. In fact, yeah, there was a time in my life where that was all that I was about. And what does that do? It provides the opportunity for me to go deeper and to share the hope that I have. I'm not sitting there in the gym going, I hope nobody talks about drinking and they put me on the spot. I'm like, I hope they put me on the spot about drinking. You wanna go out drinking? Man, you know what? I got a story for you, right? Let me tell you this story. Because I want to tell you this story, because it's a miraculous story. And every single person that God has saved has a miraculous story. It may not be as dramatic from the outside looking in, but what happens internally is revolutionary. Traditional step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. In the non-gospel recovery culture, the message is the message of the steps. That's what it is. That's the message. The message of the Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where the gospel is not preached, the love of God will grow cold. Why would I love God? Unless I see love the way that God has demonstrated his love through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that's someone I fall in love with. If I know him, I will love him. And so I get to introduce people to him because he's just that good. And so, is it a result of these steps? It may be that God touches your life at some point in the middle of these steps, but we know that it's not the result of steps. It is the result of Jesus, that from the foundations of the world, he decided a day in which he would call you to himself and you would respond in faith and you would give your life to Christ and you would say, I'm in. I'm all in. I want some of that. To carry this message, what message? Not a mixed message, a gospel message to others, and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And so, yes, there are practices that have to do with our reordering of our worship that we talked about last week. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is what makes the world make sense. Apart from him, we are lost. So, we say that a growing disciple of Christ is involved in gospel-centered community, gospel-centered worship, gospel-centered service, and gospel-centered multiplication. And we say that community, which we do here at Citizens as groups, is the context for discipleship. We say that worship, which is more than just our worship services, but includes our worship services, that our worship is the fuel for discipleship. That we get filled up and excited about God and then we go out into the world. That gospel-centered service is the result. I told you guys before, it was like, once I was saved, it just seemed like that's what you're supposed to do. You've gone from living one way and now it's about being with God's people and being a part of the body and being a part of utilizing the gifts that God's given us in order to make much of his name. And gospel-centered multiplication, which we can't control, but is the result of discipleship. So we've got the context, the fuel for discipleship. We've got the result of good discipleship is gospel-centered service, which produces gospel-centered multiplication. So is this idea new? this idea that we find in Matthew 28 about going into the world and multiplying. Jamin gave this in the men's Bible study several years ago. God has a plan. Sin threatens that plan. God redeems, shows mercy, and the plan resumes. I want to show you how this works. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and what? Multiply. What are we multiplying? His image bearers. Those that reflect his image. Those who mirror him. Those who are lights for him. Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then sin enters the world and threatens that. And so there's the God's plan is threatened because then people live for themselves. And we see that the world grows in wickedness, and then there's the flood, there's judgment, and there's a remnant of mercy that we see through Noah, and Noah has faith. And in his faith, he believes God. And in believing God, he built an ark. And that ark that saves him is a picture of Christ through the chaos of the world and the judgment. And on the other side, it said, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. We're resuming the plan, right? He's got a plan. Sin threatens the plan. There's mercy, judgment. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. And then if you keep going, you have Genesis 11. Genesis 11 is about the Tower of Babel. And there's all kinds of misinterpretation about this, but what they are living for is their own name. Let us build a tower to the heavens, to not make much of his name, to make much of their name. This is just humanism. And so they're going to make their way to God as if that was possible. Did you know that every other religion other than Christianity is about us somehow making our way to God through our works and our efforts when God has come to us? You know, we talk about the stairway to heaven. Jesus came down that stairway to us. And so then in Genesis 12, so by the way, what are they doing? They're building in comforts. They're like, we don't want to be dispersed over the face of the earth. In other words, they don't want to be obedient to what God has called. He says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And they're like, no, we want to build a kingdom to ourselves. We don't want our sons and daughters to go out. We don't want to leave our comforts of our own home. And here's what happens. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, everything that you know, everything that's familiar to you, and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. He has to go by faith, just like Noah had to build the ark by faith. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. Is it because Abram was great? No, it's because God is great. That he will make his name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the blessing that Abram, who becomes Abraham, receives from God is meant so that he would go and bless others, not so that it would just be all about him. to all the nations. So what I'm saying, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. And Abraham, he believes God. That's what his faith in God is, what he's commended for. Now, he did a lot of silly things too, just like we all do. So it's not about Noah being a sinless man, or you can read about Noah. He did some highly questionable things. So did Abraham. So did Moses. So did David. And so the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. I took a class called Perspectives. It's on worldwide missions. It was great. And as I took that class, one of the things that was communicated was that if the church got serious about the mission of God as it exists, we could reach every unreached people group in one generation. What did that mean? That the church isn't doing what it's supposed to do. It's saying here, to all nations, and then the end will come. And so we pray for Jesus to return, but are we doing what he's called us to do? And so I was just like, we're not doing our job. We're not doing what God, what he's invited us into. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And this, so this is talking about the Jews who became ethnocentric and thought it was about them and didn't realize that God had called them as a people then to be a blessing to the nations. It's always been that way. And so he took it from them and he's entrusted it to the Gentiles. And we have been grafted in to the family of God and entrusted with a message and a hope for the entire world. It's what the world needs most now. Entitlement is wanting the benefits of the kingdom without the responsibilities to the king. Just like in, we know that we have children in our homes that they want the provision, they want the protection, but they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. I want to do, you're right? And they don't want to be in your presence. That's what happens when they grow up. So they want the benefits of your covering, of your authority, without the responsibility to that authority. And the same thing can happen in Christianity, though I would pray that that would not be our hearts, and that to the degree it is our hearts, that it would be changed, that we would want to be in the presence of the King, that we would want, like he would change our hearts, and we'd want to be a part of the message that he has come to bring, that we would want to go and to sacrifice and lay down because of what all is at stake. Gospel empowered, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so next week, we will have an opportunity for those of you who are in steps to give testimony, to share. That's what it means, is to be a witness of God's faithfulness in your life, as an encouragement to those who are in need of encouragement right now, that God is real and he's powerful and that he can redeem. He gives gifts, and those gifts are different gifts, and they're to be utilized as a body. And so we can't say that, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. that in order for the body to function properly requires each of us exercising our gifts as God has distributed those gifts among us. And so if you're not exercising your gifts that God has given to you, then guess what we are like in our body? We're not functioning properly. And so it requires everyone playing their part, that there is a value to what you bring to the table. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Matthew 20, I'll let you read this, but it's about the laborers in the vineyard. I'll summarize it for you. I'd like to walk through the whole text, but it is the invitation of the master of the vineyard to come into the vineyard out of the marketplace where they are idle. That's the spiritual reality. When you are working for the riches of the world may applaud that, and you may feel like you're going somewhere, but from a kingdom perspective, you're going nowhere. And so what Jesus invites us out of is out of the marketplace and into the vineyard. Now, what does that mean? It means that there is time investing in the kingdom that you could be investing in the world. It makes sense, right? You can't be, like, you only have so much time. So if you've got an extra hour, you can go invest it in the world, or you can invest it in the kingdom. And what Jesus is going to say is that the sacrifices that are made, this is in when talking about the rich young ruler, and then this is right before the laborers in the vineyard, because they're like, we've left everything. And he says that as they have left, sacrificed these things, that there is 100-fold in the kingdom. Kingdom riches that are eternal riches that the world's going to go, I can't see anything. You could be spending you could be spending that time doing this. You could be spending the time, your PTO, instead of going on this mission trip, you could be going here. And I'm not saying that we can't be missional wherever we go, because we are on mission wherever we go. And I'm not saying that you can't be missional in your workplace, because you absolutely, there is not that divide. But I am saying what you're pursuing matters, and what your message is matters. And so a comprehensive gospel is proclaimed with our words and demonstrated with our deeds. And so we want to bring a comprehensive gospel. That's why we're being generous with school supplies. That's why we're throwing a party. We want to have, it's not just a proclamation. It's a demonstration of love, that if we do nothing else while we're away, it's to connect relationally and to love people well and to start understanding people's stories and connecting with those stories, showing compassion for those stories, and bringing hope to those stories. So this is that simplified biblical anthropology, that we have a heart that has a body within a family and within a society, that there's nothing wrong with political reform, intervening with political reform, social reform, but we do so looking for the opportunity to say there's limitations to what we're doing here. And actually what's the only thing that is going to bring a real cure for what's wrong with our country is the gospel. We talk about family, we can talk about doctors doing medical intervention, all the while saying there's limitations to what I'm doing. But there is a great physician that's greater than I, that can do works that I cannot do. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. And so where the worship of the triune God of the universe does not exist, there is a mission. And so the only way, with all that is to be done, that the church can be bored is to be disobedient. That's the only way to be bored, because there is so much to do. And it is a joy to do. It's scary. I'm not taking away from that. Like, it stretches you out of your comfort zone. So the redeemed truth of step 12, before the foundations of the earth, not as a result of these steps, God chose us, the church, to live as messengers of reconciliation to a lost and dying world, bearing witness to his wisdom and power through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our joy-filled worship to make much of his name, empowered by the Holy Spirit in bringing a comprehensive gospel demonstrated by our deeds and proclaimed by our words, with the goal of making disciples for Jesus Christ. In this way, we incarnate Christ, being his hands and feet here on earth. We are going to pass out information to those of you who are in steps right now. We'll do that via email to save time tonight. Next steps, a healthy disciple serves. We will also pass out, we will send out information about how to get connected to service opportunities here within the church. There should be some sheets in the back on that as well. That being said, who's doing announcements tonight? Okay, let me pray and then let Brett do the announcements. Father in heaven, what a joy it is that as we pursue you, Lord, you fill us up to joy, to overflowing, that is, and we discover things that are even hard to explain, but even harder to contain. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be that kind of people that are excited about your work, caught up in your story, that want to look for opportunities to share the only hope of the world to that world that is, in your eyes, going nowhere apart from you. And so, Lord, give us gospel courage. And in those places where there is fear, you already know that. And you want to hear from us. You want to talk to us about those fears, and you want to reassure us that you don't want to condemn us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless this team. And as Brett shares announcements and then we come together, Lord, that you, as each person that comes who's stepping forward to step out. And Lord, I want to just express gratitude for this group of people and those who have decided to be a part of what you're doing. And it's not limited to this trip. I know that there are people in this room who are giving and their lives sacrificially. And so, Lord, would you right now just affirm in them that though they may have had a difficult week, that you are for them. And the work that they're doing is worthwhile. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.